Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, church. Blessed Father's Day. I'm very excited for DMM month, Discipleship Making Month. Apparently, a wedding is also part of disciple making, so we're all looking forward to the many things happening in the month of July. So also just want to thank the Elder Kong Wing for leading communion earlier, as well as Daniel for sharing a bit of his experience as a new father as he and the Ascend team led worship this morning. Yesterday, do you know what happened yesterday? Hiking? Yeah, some of us went hiking. I just want to do a special shout out. I think it was so good to see so many fathers come yesterday for our Kara Hike Trail. And I want to say a special shout out to the organizing team. Can we give them a round of applause? Led by Gary. I'll show you a photo at some point in my sermon later. I think it was really special to be able to hike alongside other fathers working together as a community to make sure our kids don't roll down the mountain. It was a really good experience. Okay. Do I have my slides? Haha. Great. So, you guys ready? Okay, I'm trying to psych myself up. So today, I want to take you back to the 1980s. Who was here in the 1980s? Okay, I was not born yet. Just short of 8 years, right? But I heard it was a really, really cool season, right? So imagine sitting in a really packed cinema. The excitement in the air is palpable. You're about to watch one of the most exciting movies of all time. As the lights dim, okay, it won't dim. As the lights dim, the iconic opening crawl begins. A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. You can feel the collective thrill in the audience. Herein unfolds one of the greatest, one of the most climactic movie scenes in cinema history.
I am your father.
Not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! No!
Luke, you can destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
And that is all, folks. I like this scene so much that my phone cover has been that for quite a while. So, ranked number one greatest movie moments of all time. It depicts a plot twist that no one saw coming. Our protagonist, Luke Skywalker, which we saw in the first movie, who blew up the Death Star, right? Fighting with this all-time evil bad guy, Darth Vader, only to find out that he is his father. Man, that would be a real big plot twist for me as well. And so, I think as we think about this moment that changes everything in the movie and saga, we think about how it relates to us today. An interesting fact, did you know that the origin of the word father has its etymology in the Dutch word vader, or also spelt Vader? I was very surprised to see that, but it ties well in with my message today, and so it gives us a whole new meaning of the iconic scene that we watched just now. Okay, enough about Star Wars. Billy Graham once said that a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And so today, as we celebrate Father's Day, we're going to explore what it means for the modern-day biblical father. Whether you're an imperfect father, like Darth Vader, or whether you're a wise father-like figure, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, we'll look to how we can draw parallels between earthly fatherhood and the one true heavenly father that we all have. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love that is seen in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that we may know the love of the Father through Jesus. And this morning, as we listen to your word and we hear from you, Lord, I ask for your Spirit to be here, to celebrate, to encourage fathers in our midst, but also to spur one another on, Lord, as we journey as earthly fathers and earthly families, modeling heavenly fatherhood. We pray you grant us clarity in mind and in spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A quick introduction to myself, since I only preach once or twice a year. I'm usually up here singing, and that's usually where I would rather prefer be. Pastor Alexa. So to just share a little bit, my name is Ken Ming. I am one of the leaders in church. I serve in the Ascend Ministry, mainly in worship. My wife is the beautiful, loving, and capable Pastor Priscilla. My sister-in-law loves to call her Priest, because her name is Pris. And so we both have two children. My six-year-old son, Samuel, who loves everything a six-year-old son loves. Transformers, Star Wars, Lego, you name it, right? And we have a two-year-old daughter. Oh, actually, she's turning two in 2 weeks. And this two-year-old, who has an extremely cheeky smile, if you can see at the top corner there, she has the energy to tire out two fully grown adults during mealtimes and sleeping times. This small little human. Fatherhood for me has been a whirlwind of a journey. I sometimes can't remember what life was like before fatherhood. I know a lot of us who have been fathers for a long time also struggle to think, actually, what did I like doing before being a father? And so I think whether we're long-time fathers, you know, new fathers, or even grandfathers, I think fatherhood is such an integral journey, an integral part of our lives as we build a life of faith with our family. It's filled with so much joy and also so many struggles. Let us look at a bit of research around some of the challenges of modern fatherhood. Firstly, according to the American Psychological Association, 67% of fathers report financial matters or money as a significant source of stress. And this is even before COVID, before the diesel price went up, right? And I relate to this very, very much. As a young father, with inflation, with the weak ringgit, with the rising costs, more than ever, especially right now, I spend so much time worrying and struggling. And I know God tells us not to worry. But as fathers, sometimes we can't help but worry just to have positive cash flow at the end of every month. Secondly, in our fast-paced life, fathers often struggle with work-life balance. According to the Pew Research Center, as much as 52% of working fathers say that they struggle to juggle their job, responsibilities at their job, as well as their family. What about church-going fathers? According to a study by Lifeway Research, 68% of church-going fathers say they prioritize and it's their primary responsibility to provide spiritual guidance for their family, yet only 31% read the Bible with their children. I fall within that category in terms of knowing that I should lead my household, yet at night it's easier for Sammy to listen to a Bible story than for me to read the Bible with him sometimes. And finally, mental health remains a critical issue. The National Center for Health Statistics found that men are less likely to seek help for mental health issues, leading to higher levels of stress and anxiety. And so the traditional role of fathers, who have mainly been breadwinners, has changed a lot over time. Today, in this current generations, we see fathers playing a lot more of an active role, but that also means that they are pulled with even more tension between the roles of being an involved father, juggling work, ministry, and family life. So after sharing these statistics, just want to ask everybody a question. How many of you here relate to and can be fathers, mothers, grandparents, or even if you haven't had children yet, how many of you relate to at least one of the statistics above? Could you like raise your hand? Okay, the rest of you are living faith. I think whether or not you admit to it, I think a lot of us do find ourselves stressed out by a variety of different things. And especially fathers who don't necessarily share. I know my wife has a circle of friends that she shares very closely with, but when I go out with my friends, we're playing basketball or computer games, and we don't often share the struggles, right? And for a lot of us men, that is the case. And so as we think about fatherhood, as we think about not only the struggles, I want to first anchor us into what Pastor James earlier mentioned to be our perfect example of fatherhood in God. And so starting with the punchline that God is our perfect, good, and loving Father. He's loving, everlasting to everlasting. He disciplines us. If you cannot read those small words, it's okay. It's a Bible verse to show. God is ever-present. He will never leave nor forsake us. Ever so present that He came and became flesh in the life of Jesus. He's also our protector, our refuge, and our strength, and our provider who knows our every need. But in just knowing this knowledge, sometimes it does take time for us to fathom God's love, as the song we sung this morning. And so I want to talk about five key points for us as fathers, as well as us as a community of believers. And my five key points has an acronym, and the acronym is FORCE. F-O-R-C-E. The first of these key points. So several weeks ago, our brother Chiwai preached a very powerful message from the book of Deuteronomy. Does anyone remember that message? Okay, Cincy, thank you. A very powerful message on family discipleship, with his key points mainly being our faith will be tested. Do not be distracted by the temporal and lose sight of what is eternal. And finally, we need to invest in family discipleship to leave a lasting legacy. In Proverbs 22, it writes, "Start children off on the way they should go, that even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Fathers who lead with faith provide spiritual foundations for their children in setting a godly example. And for all of us, we know that we are our children's biggest role models. Our children follow most of what we do. Sometimes they follow what we say, but they follow most of what we do. Sometimes whether we want to or not, right? So my son has been singing this really, really weird song that we have also started singing a little bit, and my daughter suddenly is also singing. I will not tell you the song, okay? You go and find out from Sammy later. And so our children imitate us. And so as we think about this burden, we also then think about how do we allow them to imitate our spiritual faith and our spiritual growth. And so when I think about this way of imitating, I think about an example of how we can lead our children to Christ. And so one of the practical ways that Priscilla and I do it often is we show our children what it means to bring problems to God in prayer. Whether or not, whether it's at the dining table or whether it's just before they go to sleep, whether it's Thanksgiving or praying, we often pray. For example, my mom had a fall and she fractured her leg in December last year. And so we often pray for her during our mealtimes. And also Deaconess Jasmine or Auntie Jasmine Who Sammy enjoys her food very, very much when they used to cater. We would pray for her, and our children would join us in praying. And this is something that they catch and they see, so much so that I think a couple of weeks ago, Sammy voluntarily wanted to pray for one of his schoolmates that fell sick and didn't come. And he also often prays for toys that go missing, especially this particular toy that we still haven't found yet. Charles Spurgeon once said, to train up a child in the way that he should go, but be sure that you go that way yourself. As we lead an example of faith for our children, we must prioritize our own spiritual growth as well in order for our children to catch not just what we say, but more importantly, what we do. And if I can say, lead with the small things. We don't need a full-on Bible study and structure at home. We need little ways where our children can see that we believe in God, whether you are serving in church, whether you are voluntarily using time on the weekend to help another person and pray for another person. Our children see that. And so faith-focused leadership is the first point to share. And our second point, starting with the letter O, is openness in communication. It is common for father figures to be a figure of authority in the family, especially when trying to discipline our children. And in doing so, there is a fine balance between discipline that leads to growth and helping our children learn, but also words that lead to discouragement. Two famously known passages from Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21. In Ephesians 6:4, it reads, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Very, very similarly, Paul writes just one or two letters later, repeats this in Colossians 3:21, that reads, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I'm going to read an amplified version. I didn't put it up there, but an amplified version of Colossians 3:21, Amplified Bible, and it reads this way, "Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children," within bracket, "with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness, so that they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken." And the key word here is tenderly with loving kindness. And as we think about our role as fathers, how do we balance that love that we have as well as firmly being able to discipline? And growing up, I think it's quite normal for us to hear a lot of nagging, and all in good intention because our parents want the best for us, and I find myself nagging my son all the time as well. But sometimes just being for your good is not enough for them to really understand why we care so much that they go the right way. One commentator wrote that constant nagging produces a situation where children are discouraged either because they cannot please those they love or because they feel that they are of no worth to anybody. And such provocation is not of God and will crush a child's heart to the point that he becomes fearful, timid, and withdrawn. And he will grow up disheartened, lacking the necessary confidence to succeed and believe that he can be all God has called him to be. Now, parents, this is not a judgment on nagging. There is space to nag. Please eat your vegetables. Please brush your teeth. Please. There is space for this. But I think constant nagging and thinking of how can we really bring this with love and loving kindness and tenderness and really getting feedback from our children. Like, what do they have to say about what we are saying? How do they feel about what we are saying? Openness in communication involves not only being aware of what we say, but also how we say things and being open to listen. So I often ask my son, how did you feel about today? What was your biggest struggle or biggest challenge? Or when I know that something I said has kind of put him off, I ask, although I know it was Mila, what's wrong? What did Daddy do? Do you know why Daddy said this? And how can I say it differently? And trying to help him understand and hear what he's going through as well. I remember an argument that I had with my son. Yes, we argue, 6-year-old to 37-year-old. For his need to clean his room before he could do anything else. And he was so frustrated because after a long day of work, I was resting there and said, Sammy, you need to clean your room before you do anything. Seemingly normal, but my son was really frustrated. Why do I have to clean my room when you are just sitting there? I work so hard, why can't I just sit there? And Sammy goes, I also work very hard. And so it became a little bit of a frustrating argument. But at some point in the argument, I realized that actually I had a role to play, to lead my son in what he was meant to do, be a role model to him. And so I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, Daddy's really tired. I know I should clean up as well, because my wife nags me as well. And it's all part of, you know, setting a role model, but also I think just being able to admit our mistakes. And for a lot of us fathers, I think back to Chi Wai's message, how many of us fathers have shared struggles or shared our testimony of faith with our children, because all they see is the good stuff, right? Of Daddy being strong, Daddy having all the answers. But what about the moments where Daddy's wrong and that Daddy makes mistakes? And that is how we too as fathers can show them an example of being able to share both successes and failures. And this teaches them valuable lessons to foster a culture of honesty and openness. So openness in communication, my second point. Ooh, timing-wise. Going on to my third point, thinking about real presence. So it's not just communicating in terms of instructions, but really thinking about real presence. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7, it reads, "These commandments that I give you today, they are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And when I read this, the first thing I think is, yes, Lord, we have to teach our kids in every aspect of our life. But the other thing it tells me is that we actually have to be involved in every aspect of our children's life. And in the modern day, with so many distractions, being present requires intentionality. How many of us have gone to restaurants and seen an entire family sitting together at dinner, but nobody is talking? They were all either taking picture of our food, updating WhatsApp, and I don't know, a range of different things. I myself am guilty, and often, you know, when they say parents don't let your kids have too much screen time, when my daughter is like trying to jump out of her chair, please watch this TV for a little while, okay? But I think we have to think about what boundaries do we set, not only for our children, but for us as parents. How do we role model being really present? Is it okay to be physically there? When I'm at the end of my day and I'm at home, I just want to scroll social media. And my daughter comes running around, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And my son comes running, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I'm like, go and call Mommy. Is it really fair? Is that really being fully present? In our modern day with so many distractions, it does require intentionality. And secondly, it is really about thinking, how do we make the most of the little moments that we have? Now, as parents, you know, we work full-time. Some of us, both parents, some of us, one homemaker and one. And so as a father, most of us fathers actually have very, very limited time. If we manage to see our children for maybe an hour or two at the end of a day, or maybe a couple of hours over the weekend, how do we make the most of those little moments to have sacred family time during meals where we're not distracted or doing other things? And as a final point in presence and being present, this may look different at every stage in a child's life. And so for young children, playing with them and spending time with them may be the most important thing to their day. I don't know, I haven't reached the teenage years yet, but I was once a teenager, and my parents sometimes, you know, don't come too close. It's a bit embarrassing, right? We need our space. And so for teenagers, maybe it is taking a genuine interest in what they care about, right? And understanding some of the jargon they use. I have no idea how to speak Gen Z language, but you know, taking an interest and understanding would really help them know that they mean something to you, right? And they are equally, if not more important than anything you do at work or at church. And maybe during their adult stage, it would be supporting them in adulting. Because many of us millennials, as we get into adulting, it's very, very stressful. And for us to be able to mirror and see how our parents grow in their relationship with God as well. So real presence is something that our children really need as we get involved, not just in being there, buying nice things, but also in spending quality time and pointing them to spend time with Jesus. And so my third point, real presence. And as we go into my fourth point, here's where we have a picture of our hike yesterday. Community of love and support. Now, I want to say something about Asian culture that I myself am subject to as well. In Asian culture, there's this thing called face, right? I don't know how to describe it. Give face, right? Or even, we want to protect how our family looks or how we are perceived by other people. And often families, you know, would only show the things that are working well. We're going on holiday, we're smiling, we're having fun. If you follow me on social media, don't have to follow me, but if you see my social media, you will see all the fun moments I have with my son. You won't see me taking picture of him crying and whining and posting. Actually, sometimes I do, right? Just to reflect on how difficult it is, right? But as Asians, I think we are very good at hiding our struggles, right? And that vulnerability can sometimes be a foothold for the devil to make us feel like we're not good enough or that we'll never overcome this struggle that we face. And so my fourth point is really about community. And fathers, this journey was never meant to be done alone. God has placed us in community with our spouse, with our family, and with this broader family of God. And one of the biggest things I've learned as a father is that I'm not alone, right? As in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it writes, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And Paul speaks about this before his final instructions to the church of Thessalonica as a reminder that we live in a community of faith anchored in Jesus. So these two pictures below are actually one from yesterday, and this is a community of young fathers. The cutoff is having kids between 6 and 12, so some of the grandfathers who wanted to come, you will be waitlisted for the next round, okay? And so we started off yesterday with quite a number, right? Actually, in the morning, I didn't know who would show up because some people are a bit sick, it was raining, and, you know, to some people, rain or shine, they will be there, right, with the raincoat, especially Edmund Ting. And so this picture depicts a community, right? Over a period of 2 hours, 1.5 to 2 hours hiking, sometimes I couldn't tell where my kid was because it was a straight line. And other fathers was looking out for my kid, same as I would look out for their kid, right? And, you know, really the rolling down the hill is not very far-fetched, right? It's just next to the path. And so this picture of, you know, journeying as a community of fathers is something so important that God has prepared for us. And this picture on the right over here is my son's fifth birthday party last year, where we invited all the people from his babysitter to our grandparents, to our in-laws, to my sister-in-law, as well as neighbors who play a part in raising my children. There's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And working in education, I absolutely agree. And so, in thinking about communities, there are a few support systems, and fathers in our midst, support systems is what will help us through some of the most difficult times. Firstly, being our spouse, who knows all of our strengths and weaknesses, and who God has placed beside us to fill the gaps where we are not able to. Our extended family, who not only hands down clothing and lots of different used toys, but also creates a loving environment. And we are very, very thankful for Sammy to have cousins and also family members that are so close. And finally, friends, if you've not already been part of a cell group, that is an amazing space to find community. I can't tell you the number of times my cell group members have carried my children, because either Priscilla or myself are up here, or it's at some camp and they're crying. Special shout out to like Lydia, to Carlene, to Joanne, to a whole bunch of people who loves carrying Sophie. Cell group is an amazing place, not just to find support, but also to share struggles that as parents, whether it's in our marriage or in our family, and a bigger community like the church is somewhere where I feel very safe week on week, having my son run around, make friends in Sunday school, and know that there will always be uncles and aunties and other people to look out for them. A strong community offers resources, advice, moral support, helping fathers navigate even some of the most challenging moments. So community of love and support, my fourth point. And my final point starts with the letter brought to you by Elmo. Starts with the letter E, enjoying the journey. Parenthood is not something God has placed in our path just to create trials and tribulations for us. That's not God's intention. It is about joy. It is about learning about who God is through our children. And also it's about having fun along the way. And talk about, struggles and building resilience. Sometimes for us, as fathers, you don't have to be so hard on yourself. There are expectations that you set on yourself. Sometimes it's something that a family member that says, you should parent your kids in this way. We're all on a journey, and we're all being fathered by our Father in heaven as well. I remember an instance many months ago where Priscilla and I, we were in the car. I can't remember whether we were leaving the house or coming back to the house, but everybody was crying, just all over the place, right? And I remember this moment where Priscilla and I looked at each other and we just laughed, because it's quite ridiculous, actually, how much children can cry. And in that moment, it was really like, wow, maybe we should start crying as well and we can create an orchestra as a family. But in those moments, I felt closer to my wife, and research has shown that humor can play a huge part in building, in our resilience, getting us through difficult times. And so God has gifted us this journey of fatherhood, not just for us to go through hardships, but to build resilience and grow in our joy and Christ-likeness. And my second point is that every one of us fathers differently. And if you know me, I like to have a lot of fun as much as I can, so much so that I'm not sure whether my son likes Star Wars more or I like Star Wars more, one of us, right? Actually, I do. So, we do a range of things. We play Nerf guns, we go to Avengers things, we play a lot of Lego. Sometimes Priscilla comes in and we're both just playing Lego for like 2 hours, and she can't tell which one is the father, which one is the son. And at mealtimes, she struggles to get all three of her children to the meal table, right? And so that is definitely one aspect. But I think, it's not just for our kids, but together with our kids, with our children, that we enjoy this journey of fatherhood. So as I summarize my five key points, and as the worship team comes up, if you don't know by now, I am a huge Star Wars fan. If you don't know by now. And so my urge to all you fathers is to use the Force. But recalling the iconic movie scene which we watched earlier, where Darth Vader famously says, "No, I am your father." Not bad, right? That's not bad. Church, today I want to say, no, I am is your father. The great I am that we have in God. the father figure in the Bible, the God of the Bible and the perfect Father who uses the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us along this journey. In the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, before all of his teachings that he went on to tell the Israelites, Moses reminds us of God's faithfulness. Where in Deuteronomy 1, verse 30 to 31, he writes, "The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place." As we reflect this Father's Day, we think about our Heavenly Father who exemplifies perfect love in sending Jesus to live and die on the cross for us. And as fathers, we are called to mirror this sacrificial love, but to also ourselves receive God's love, because only out of a full cup can we pour out love to our children. And so, church, let us commit today to lead with faith, to communicate openly, to be truly present, building a community of support, and to celebrate the little joys, and in doing so, building a lasting legacy of faith for our children and the generations to come. Praise be to God. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.